Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Here's Geist down the hole. First down and more, but there is a flag as Geist is inside the 20 and finally tackled at the 15-yard line of the Patriots. But we will check with the referee, Brad Allen. It's coming back.
And Geist is limping.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
Very melancholy emergency podcast dropping right now. This is JP Finley. This is Redskins Talk. We are presented by Orsman Automotive of Virginia. By now, you've probably heard the bad news. Darius Geist out for the season with a torn ACL. The Redskins confirmed the news. They sent out a press release. This is a 10 out of 10 level bummer. We're going to break it all down. I am in studio. Pete's here. What up, man?
Hey, JP.
Tandler, Mitch, how's it going, boys?
Hey, doing all right. Hey.
So I'm going to go through a bit of the timeline of everything that happened. Last Thursday night in Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts, the Skins are playing the Patriots. Preseason game one, Darius Geist, I believe on his sixth, maybe his seventh run from scrimmage because it got called back anyway. Busts the best run he has all night and goes down awkwardly, has a guy land on him, immediately stays on the ground. Trainers come over. They carry him over to the trainer's table. Trainers are worried. Coaches are worried. Players are worried. Eventually, though, he gets up. He's got ice on the knee, goes into the locker room. Seems like he's okay. We get to talk to him after the game. He says all is well. He tells me that, tells all the reporters everything is fine. But the tough part, as Tandler told us last night, what is the second rule of Tandler?
Don't believe what a player says about his own injury.
And Tandler was proven quite correct.
Yeah.
We all knew to wait for the MRI. The MRI is what was going to matter. And sure enough, the MRI reveals torn ACL. The initial reports, I think, were a sprained MCL. ACL is big business, and it's really bad news for a dynamic young rookie, charismatic, instantly became a fan favorite. I don't mean to be turning the page so quick, but I can tell you what every player, coach, front office person in Ashburn at Redskin Park is saying. Next man up. It becomes overly cliche, but they're now moving on to what happens next. And I, before we get into the what happens next, I want to let everybody kind of react. Tandler and I were in the car last night, and I got a phone call that led me to believe that the results were not going to be good. Tandler, you were in there for that call. We got some pretty detailed information for kind of what was to be expected and what was going on with that knee last season at LSU. Mentally, I was kind of prepared for this. I don't know. It sucks for the kid. I think some fans are overreacting. Shocker, Redskins fans are overreacting. I don't think the sky is quite falling like some believe, but it's certainly a real bummer for the kid. RT, I'll let you go. And then Mitch, because you were down on the field when it all happened.
Yeah. Of course, it's a bummer. And just not to be repetitive about what everybody else says, a couple of points I want to make about the way some people are reacting. First of all, this has nothing to do with conditioning. It has nothing to do with the way the Redskins training staff works or doesn't work. It's just bad freaking luck.
Agreed.
Is all it is. There's nothing. Anybody gets fallen on like that, you're going to get a torn ACL. And that's just the way it is. Something bad is going to happen. And second, you know, this could have had so, okay, so that was his seventh carry of the game. Maybe he shouldn't have been in that long. Well, first of all, you have half the fan base screaming that you got to play your starters and they've got to get warmed up and yada, yada, yada.
Don't put them in bubble wrap.
Yeah, exactly. And then that could have happened on his first carry, could have happened on his seventh carry, could have happened on his first carry next week, could have happened in the third preseason game, could have happened in week one. I mean, it's just, it really has nothing to do with how many carries he got in the game. He had a fairly light workload. And so, you know, I don't really want to hear about any of that either. I mean, he wasn't overworked. It was just, it's just bad freaking luck.
Right. I think you can make the argument that Matt Ioannidis should not have been in the game when he got rolled up and there was an injury worry. But Geis running the ball in the first quarter, it's what he's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
All right, Mitchell, boots up. So Taylor and I were in New England. We were in the press box. Mitch was down on the ground. Our guy, Greg Abernathy, got incredible video of Geis on the trainer's table. You can look for that on our website on NBC Sports Washington. Mitch, you were there. Talk us through it, dude.
Yeah, I mean, on his, I believe it was his third carry, maybe his fourth carry of the game, his shoe popped off, and he had to go running off the field to get it put back on. Imagine if he would have just busted a shoelace there, ripped the sole, a cleat came off, something, you know, worse than his shoe just falling off and he doesn't come back in the game, man. It's kind of, it's so unfortunate, the play that happened. But to me, one of the most telling parts of it was whenever a player gets hurt in the preseason and goes down, guys are, you know, stopping by, checking on him and whatnot. When Geis first went down and kind of got helped over the sideline, he went down a second time. And, you know, just to have the trainers kind of get a better look at him before they took him to the training table. And the first two guys that were over to check on him were Josh Norman and Trent Williams. And I think that just tells you the impact that this kid had in 3 weeks or so, 2 weeks of practice and a few months of being around the team. You know, two of you are arguably your biggest leaders on the team are the first two over there checking on, you know, a rookie second-round player. That's not something that happens very often. And so, to me, that was the big takeaway. And, you know, Abs did a great job of getting around towards the trainer's table to get that video. And you could see, you know, you could see them do the drawer test, which is like the ACL test or whatever on the knee, and all these, you know, different things. And the fact they didn't walk him right back to the locker room gave you a little bit of hope that maybe it wasn't so bad. But
the problem is when it swells up, you can't do anything until the swelling goes down. You know, that's like the one thing that maybe provides false hope for fans is they just throw ice on it. You're like, I just need a bag of ice. He's all right.
And also everybody goes to the, he walked off fine. But we've learned time and time again, if you tear an ACL, you can walk on it plenty fine. That's not an indication anymore of what the severity is.
Right. All right, Pete's reaction real quick. But, Mitch, I found it interesting you talk about if he ripped his shoe up, he would have had to come out of the game. Taylor, you loved kind of the sliding doors effect. Remember last season Sean LaValle's face mask and kind of the ripple effects that had on the offensive line. It's just crazy how, like, this one small thing can impact, obviously, so, so much. All right, Pedro.
Yeah, I guess, so JP, you said you had that phone call, but for me, I was kind of here in Bethesda working, so I was just kind of following the reports, and I had a little bit of optimism once you saw his sprained MCL. Okay, he'll just be back in a couple weeks, be ready for week one, but of course, that's not the case anymore, and my Redskins life has just been dominated by the worst case scenario, but even as somebody who's been trained to handle that, this is like another level of just pain and shock, and part of it is the fact that he was so endearing to fans, but another part is he's just was going to be such an important part of the offense, and to have that taken away six carries into his career for a season is just devastating. And I like your whole calm it down. It's not over yet. I really do like that bit, and I think there is some truth there, but I also think that this is a huge deal because it takes away the team's ceiling and hurts them in the long run. They may not be 5-11 now because of this, but I don't know if they can be the 10-6, 9-7 offensive powerhouse that we were hoping. So I think he would have been one of the more dynamic parts of the offense.
One of the first things that went into my mind when I heard that he was out with the ACL was Doug Williams in the spring. We got to upgrade our running back position. Ain't no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, now, guess what? They aren't upgraded.
Yeah, you're back to square one just with the same group you had last year.
Well, and I want to talk about what the options are. But I made this case on Redskins 100, and I still think Jordan Reed staying healthy is more important. And I truly think that if the top four D linemen, if John Allen, Daron Payne, Tim Settle, Matt Ioannidis, especially the Tim Settle we saw Thursday night in New England, if those four get through the season healthy, I think that's a bigger deal than losing Darius Geis. So I think you can dramatically improve your run defense, and that will change things kind of right away for the Redskins. All right, we got to talk about what happens next, kind of the aftermath of the Geis injury.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Real quick, we want to thank our friends again from Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Look, man, you can get, they got Fairfax Toyota, Chantilly Toyota and Kia, Ford Lincoln of Alexandria, Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram of Alexandria, Chevy Buick GMC of Alexandria. You can get anything you want from those guys. So go get a car, please. Pete, go get a car, all right?
Yeah, I can definitely afford that with Oarsman. It seems like they have some nice deals, so yeah. Maybe even a cheap guy like me can handle it.
Maybe.
He doesn't like to carry the ball three times. He needs to carry the ball 15 times. And he actually told me before the game, he says, I don't want it three times. If you're going to give it three times, don't even put me in. So we tried to get a little lather for him going, and he popped the long run. And unfortunately, I think he's got a leg tangled up in the turf. So just one of those unlucky plays that unfortunately happen to all players from time to time. So hopefully it's nothing. But if it is, I'm sure Darius will rehab it and get himself back.
What happens next? This is the serious. There's the emotional response to what happened to Darius, and you're sad. There's no other way around it, right? I mean, it's a tough break for a good kid. What happens next for the Redskins kind of looks the same as it did last year, minus Mac Brown. I think it's good news for Samaje Perine. I think Samaje Perine makes this roster now. I think you're looking at Rob Kelly, Perine, Chris Thompson, Byron Marshall. I think you hope for some sort of, you know, timeshare between Kelly and Perine, and then Chris Thompson's able to do the same stuff he did last year. Maybe Byron Marshall can do more, and I think that's it. And it's tough to remember, but try to think back to week two last year when that combination of Kelly, Perine, Thompson ran for 229 yards against LA. Some of those guys can produce. We'll see. Taylor, I don't see them going after anybody. Maybe you see the running back position. Somebody could get cut that emerges later. You never know, but that's the way I see it. RT, you see it the same?
The big names are getting thrown out there now. Adrian Peterson, I'm not sure, you know, in his prime, sure. And even in his declining year or two that he had, sure. But now, I don't think he's an upgrade. Jamal Charles, same kind of thing. Knee injuries have robbed him of his speed, even though he's not, I don't think he's all that old. Did you bring back Alfred Morris? I just don't know if he is an upgrade. So I think I think going with what you have is the way to go.
I would say this front office is going to be very actively looking at cuts September 1, whenever the day is where the rosters go from 90 to 53. I think you keep an eye then. You know, I haven't looked. What is the Vikings running back situation? The organization loves Mac Brown, and I know he's still on the roster up there in Minnesota, but they've got to have, I guess they lost Jerick McKinnon in the offseason, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm pulling
well,
it up.
What? So you bring in Mac Brown instead of who? You cut Byron Marshall and bring in, you know, does Mac Brown give you anything?
Maybe.
Is he an upgrade over any of those?
Well, Taylor, I think when Geis was healthy, we had them cutting Samaje Perine, right?
We talked about it. Well, I don't know. I can't remember where we ultimately ended up.
I'm just saying
the possibility.
I'm just saying real names that are worth talking about. To me, I'm not sure Adrian Peterson is a real name to talk about. You know what I mean? Well, like,
I don't think Mac Brown is either.
Okay. I mean, especially because he's on a roster right now. Yeah, like, right. You know, that's a big part of it, too. Go ahead, Mitch.
You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One thing about Adrian Peterson is we saw Trent Williams working out with him in the offseason. So if the Redskins do decide to bring him in, you got to believe that they at least consulted Trent, and that Trent has a pretty good idea of what AP has left or how he looks.
It looked like Trent was faster than him in those cone drills they tweeted out.
He looked a little quicker.
It's kind of an indictment on AP, but yeah.
Yes. But I'm just saying you have some real insight into in how he looks.
Yeah, like the Torian Gray Adonis thing. He had the inside source.
Yeah, and let's not forget that the Redskins do have a bounty of draft picks. Now, I don't think they're going to spend anything big on him because, you know, you do have guys coming back next year. So, you know, you'd be looking for a one-year plug and play, which is maybe why a veteran might be an answer, but I don't know. I look at the way they operate, and you know they haven't operated that way in a while.
To go out and get somebody.
Go out and get somebody. Since they got Jason Taylor after Philip Daniels tore his knee in what one of the Benny Zorn years, 2008 or 2009.
The only thing I'll say is. They are long on draft picks, and what I kind of look at the Eagles trade for Ajayi last year. What if there's some disgruntled guy out there that you can maybe make a move for? Here's the thing. Jay Gruden is in a highly pressure, you better go win. I think on some level, Bruce Allen has some pressure on him. You know, Bruce has been the Teflon Don over there, but like they really need to win this year. They acquired a 34-year-old quarterback, and everybody has said this isn't a move for 2-3 years. We have to win now. So it wouldn't shock me if the right player became available that they do make a move. I'm not saying I expect it, but I wouldn't. Taylor, how about this? When Dez Bryant hit the market, we were all like, it's not happening, right? But now this one, I'm not ruling anything out.
No, because we haven't really heard anything about what they're considering. I think right here, we're just giving our opinions of what should happen. They might be thinking something totally different. You know, when Josh Norman became available a couple of years ago, I didn't think that they would make a move after him, and neither did a lot of other people. But then things developed rather quickly in the other direction. So same with Deshaun Jackson. So you don't always know what they're thinking until it happens.
All right. This is an emergency pod. We're sticking to one topic. Does anybody else have anything else to say on this? The Jets, I had heard and I had reported that the Redskins were interested in Isaiah Crowell. They do have some depth on the running back depth chart. They might have to make a cut. And hell, the Skins are going to see him up close and personal. So I do think adding another running back is possible. I think that's on the table.
Yeah, they've kind of taken on the quieter free agency approach, but they do seem like they're willing to pull the trigger on these quick reaction type things. So I kind of think they're gonna try and do something, whether that be a trade or a cut down pickup. I don't think they're just going to roll with what they got going into the season because they saw how that worked out last year. And of course, Kelly was banged up. The O-line was banged up and it was the worst case scenario. But I don't think you want to go on with the current group you have and just rely on Rob Kelly and Ryan to be your top two backs. It's not the most foolproof plan.
RT, and we wrap.
Well, I don't know what out there is foolproof, but we will see. I think the next 24 to 48 hours are going to be pretty interesting.
So
if they are indeed going to do anything, it should happen fine. And, you know, and if something happens at the final cuts, that's fine. But you know, I think if you're going to get an upgrade over, you know, that's the whole key: upgrade over what you have on the roster right now. I think you either got to get a veteran or pull a trade.
All right. I'd have to go back and check. I think this is the first sad emergency
podcast.
I'm
writing the description right now, and I said in the saddest emergency pod to date.
All right. But you know what's not sad? The good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia.
Thank you.
Go buy a car from them. They'll cheer you right up. My guy Bob Biaggi will cheer you right up. Hager, Garve, all those guys will cheer you right up.
Also, the Redskins just moved practice to 2 p.m. on Saturday, and Jay Gruden will speak at 1:45. So that will be our first chance to hear from Jay on what they plan on doing next.
And we'll have a pod tomorrow after practice, so 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Hopefully we'll have a pod up for you by like 5 o'clock. That may be optimistic, but we'll see. We're all done here, folks. Go drink a beer. You need it.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.